Cape Talk, Car Talk.
And we have Chira de Siena of cars.co.za standing by to chat to us. Just a reminder, please not to ask questions about the valuation of vehicles. Otherwise, we will happily take your questions to help you make your purchase decisions and give you advice on your car. Chira, as always, it's great to have you with us.
Hi, Pippa. Thanks for having me.
The number to dial with those questions is 021-446-0567, or you can leave a voice note on 072-567-1567. And while we wait for those first calls to come through, we thought we'd have a bit of a talk about tech in the car. If you think about it, look around. If you're in the car now, look around you. Which are the technological advances that you take for granted today that weren't actually there 5 or 10 years ago? And which of them are really useful and which of them are really just gimmicks that don't really make any difference to your driving experience? We asked Chiro to pick out some of the top tech features that he thinks are worth paying a little extra for, worth looking out for when you're making a car purchase, and which ones really don't matter that much. Chiro, let's start with the ones you think are worth a tick on the list.
Sure. A little one, maybe a seemingly trivial one to start off with, but it actually does help so much, and that's rear cross-traffic alert. And this one kicks in when you're trying to reverse out of a parking bay. So in that sort of situation, it's very difficult to see traffic coming in either direction. And what most of these systems do is alert you to cars and pedestrians which are crossing behind you to help you pick a good time to move safely out of the spot. I'm not sure who was first with this. I think it might have been Volvo, but it's spread across multiple brands now, and it's definitely something which I would, which is helpful, I think, and something to look out for with your next purchase.
Okay, so the rear cross traffic alert definitely gets a tick. Obviously, things that help us not be on the phone texting and making calls on a cell phone. Chiro, as you've told us, you learned to your own chagrin a few weeks ago.
Yes.
Not only is it illegal, it's a safety risk. So what's the technology that's best placed to help you stay off the phone?
Well, I suppose there's a combination of technologies now coming into play. So that you don't really need to interact with your phone at all but get all the benefits of a smartphone. Cars are increasingly being made available with Apple CarPlay and Android Auto. So, of course, if you're on an Apple device, you'll get a certain software suite, and then if you're on an Android device, you'll get the Android Auto. And basically, it makes many of your phone's functions available through the car's system and also makes it voice-activated. So it allows you, for instance, access to Siri, which is or Google Assistant on the Android. It's really, really slick. Android Auto in particular, I find impressive. You can dictate WhatsApp messages on the move, for instance, and it actually works very, very well. I think it works better than Apple CarPlay, to be honest with you. The only thing is, it's a bit of a trick having to use Android Auto at the moment because Google hasn't put it in the South African Play Store yet for some reason. So you need to sideload it. Basically, it means downloading the file from just a normal website and sort of loading it into your phone a little bit manually. So a little bit of a trick to it, but worth the effort, I would say.
Okay. The one that always tickles me, Chiro, is the car that comes with a heated seat. Now, I think back to my early days in the newsroom when I used to go to work at 4 o'clock in the morning in the middle of the Johannesburg winter driving a Beetle with no heating. And the thought of a heated seat would have been absolutely glorious then. Is it really necessary? Does it make a big difference?
Ah, personally, I absolutely love a heated seat, and especially in winter. I mean, I suppose, in South Africa, we see more summer months or more warmer months rather than cooler months. So it's nice that the heated seats now are combined with cooling seats. So the leather of the seat is perforated, and then there are fans inside the seat itself, sort of on your lower back and under your backside, and it just blows this cool breeze. It's really makes a difference on a hot summer's day. So it's increasingly common as well, becoming an option. It's usually not standard. It's a box you have to tick when you're purchasing the car. But if money wasn't an issue, it's a box I would certainly tick.
Okay. You've also picked out LED headlights. Chiro, tell us a little bit more.
Phenomenal. I experienced the latest LED headlights from Jaguar recently. And, I mean, an average or, let's say, poor to average set of headlights will let you see maybe 40 to 60 meters into the distance at night, whereas Jaguar's LED headlights go up to 300 meters. And it's just an absolutely staggering difference between normal headlights and what the future's bringing for us. And it really makes a big difference. You know, if you're traveling at 120 k's an hour, my math might be off now, but you're roughly traveling at between 30 and 40 meters a second, I think, at that point. So if you're only seeing 40 meters into the distance, you'd have less than a second to react from the point of seeing something. So if you can see 300 meters into the distance, it's just that much, you know, it gives you that much more time to react to the danger in the road. So I think they'll become pretty much standard equipment in the future, if my crystal ball gazing is correct.
Okay. Let's talk about one that wasn't on your list of the great innovations worth looking for, and that's the keyless car. Interestingly, Chira, there was an article on CNN within the last couple of days that a few people have sent me, telling us that more than 24 people have died in America from carbon monoxide poisoning after they accidentally left their cars running in the garage as a result of the keyless ignition system. Is it something that you're a big believer in?
I think keyless is extremely convenient, especially for getting into the car. You know, you don't have to get the key out of your pocket. As soon as you touch the door handle, the car opens up. It's a great convenience feature. I wish more cars would lock as you walked away from the car. That would be helpful. Mazdas do that, and I think Renaults do, but not a lot of brands do. In terms of leaving the car running, that is a little strange. I suppose if you get home, park in the garage, and sort of absentmindedly wander off from the car, you might realize that the engine's on. But I mean, from outside of a car, you can usually tell that engine's running. So I don't know if perhaps those owners were very, very distracted. I've never heard of a case like that locally.
Yeah, it seems like it was generally with very quiet hybrid cars that it wasn't easy to spot that the car was running. Interesting. But as you say, you've got to be totally distracted to not realize that you've even switched off the car.
Also, you will get a warning beep if you open the driver's door with the engine running. You almost certainly will get a warning beep as well. So
yeah. As I get when I leave my lights on and I get out the car, which happens very frequently. Okay. Some interesting insights there, Chira. Thanks for sharing them. We've got callers lining up on the line, though, so we'll move on to your motoring calls. 021-446-0567 is the number to dial. Kevin dialed that number from Rondebosch. Good afternoon, Kevin.
Yeah, hi there. Just a quick one. A city runaround car for $100,000, a second-hand car. Could you give me some recommendations? What I should look for? What's the best option?
Sure. Yeah, sure. You might even be able to get into, if you maybe can stretch about another 10 or 20,000, you could possibly get into a demo Suzuki Swift 1.2. We've had a lot of survey feedback come back on the Suzukis, and they have excellent reliability. We see figures of sort of something in the region of out of every 100 cars, they have 2 breakdowns, which is extremely low. So that might be, and definitely something you can pick up secondhand as well. I've recently heard some fairly, I suppose the car to warn you off of maybe would be the Renault Sandero. I've recently heard some pretty difficult anecdotal news about that, I suppose, that it is unreliable. So maybe between those two, sort of opt for one and maybe give the other one a skip.
Okay, great, thanks.
Kevin, good luck. Thanks for your call. And it's hello to Chris in Paul. Good afternoon.
Hi, guys.
How are you this afternoon, Chris?
Yeah, good, thanks. I've just got a quick question for Chiro. I'm looking to buy a 2013 Audi Allroad, the petrol version. And I was just wondering what Chiro's opinion is.
Is it a diesel or a petrol?
The petrol one, Chiro.
Okay. And what's the mileage at the moment?
100.
100, yeah. Okay, so it's basically just got out of its warranty and its service plan.
That's why the guy's selling it, and I can pick it up for 210.
That is a good price. Yeah, funnily enough, recently on the show, we've had a couple of Audi, high-mileage Audi owners call in saying that their car is using a lot of oil. So that would be something I would inquire about, and something perhaps you just need to be prepared for, because apparently, Audi South Africa's position on it is that it's normal for the cars to consume a pint of oil for almost every refill of the tank. So something to consider. Other than that, I think you're probably in for the fairly standard on the petrol version, the timing belt, and on the diesel version, you might be looking out for the injectors and perhaps the catalytic converter to become issues in, say, the next 40,000 Ks, I would say.
Okay. Okay, awesome. Thanks very much, Chiro.
Chris, good luck with the purchase if you make it. Thanks so much for your call. A message from Adriano on Facebook, and this is a really, I think, a really helpful question for everyone to learn from. Adriano says, I'm interested in trading in my car. I'm wondering if it makes sense to invest in repairs now to increase the value of my current car in order to increase my negotiating power.
It's a tricky one because essentially, if you trade it in, or even if you sell privately, a little bit more flexibility if you sell privately. But essentially, you're going to get very close to book value unless the car is in incredible condition. If the car is not running, then obviously, you know, it will have to be repaired. There's no point trying to sell a car that isn't running. But if it's a small item, I mean, I suppose there's two ways you could do it. You could repair it and know that perhaps the money's not going to come back to you, but it will increase your chances of the sale. Or you could disclose the fault and perhaps supply the buyer with a quote for the repair, and which you could then subtract from your selling price. So sort of two routes to go there. It would depend, I suppose, case by case on which route would be the best to choose. But I think disclosure is always important. Transparency is always important, I would say. Rather than, you know, having sort of fights down the line when something crops up and you didn't disclose that and et cetera, et cetera. I mean, South African law is footstools, but still, it's I think transparency is very important.
Okay, Adriana, I hope that gives you some useful feedback. Thanks for your question. Bronwyn and Obbs wants to respond to the earlier call, I think it was Kevin in Rondebosch, looking for the car under 100,000 rand. Bronwyn, what's your advice? Good afternoon.
Hi, Pippa. Yes, I have very recently, as of yesterday, had to give up my very beloved Fiat 500L. And I must say, it was the only reason I had to give it up is because of an option of getting a company car, which was sort of a no-brainer. But those old cars are much reviled for being completely gutless, which they are, but they are safe, they are cheap, and they're hugely sort of underappreciated in the South African market because they're not an SUV. But they're bigger than a BMW X1. They are safe, Euro NCAP 5-star. And, you know, if you're looking around for a second-hand one, you can probably find one for probably slightly more than 100,000. But they're great little cars, and I really miss it.
Okay, Bronwyn, thanks for that feedback. Chiro, do you share her enthusiasm for that car?
I think so. It's like she was saying. The caller was saying. The problem is that South Africans have already fallen out of love with MPVs, and I would say in most cases MPVs are and were more practical than their SUV counterparts. If you are willing to, or if you are happy not driving an SUV, then right now I suppose on the second-hand market there are some excellent deals going. On MPVs, simply because the demand is so low. And usually the case with most of these cars is that the MPV and the SUV are usually built on the same chassis using the same engine and gearbox. So in terms of reliability or power or handling, whatever it is, there isn't a huge difference between the two.
Okay, thanks for that. We've got two voice notes that have come through. Let's take a listen to those.
Hi, Papa. I have a question regarding petrol. I drive a 1984 model Honda Ballard, and recently I've been struggling to find the lead replacement petrol, LRP petrol, at filling stations, and the one filling station that used to still have it discontinued their supply. Now, I've been advised, and I've read a bit up about some other sachet you add to the petrol tank to add the lead. I'm just wondering, is it an absolute necessity for all older cars to have lead in the petrol they use, or can a car function without? Thanks.
Sure. This is up against the limits of my technical knowledge here. I seem to think that, or if I go back to sort of a bit of reading I did on this last year, it's something to do with the timing and in certain cars, the timing can be advanced or retarded to make allowances for the unleaded fuel. I don't know if that applies to all older fuel injected engines, but if I'm not mistaken, it can be adjusted to run on unleaded. And I think one or two parts do need to be changed, but they're fairly inexpensive parts. It's something I actually wouldn't mind following up on, though, because it's something I'd really like to know a little bit more about. And if if you don't mind grabbing my email address from Amy, I'll do a little bit of digging for you as to who might be able to do that conversion for you.
Okay, so Amy's going to just take the number of the person who left that voice note and we'll connect you off air, Chira, because we do have to wrap things there. As always, thanks for your input. We look forward to chatting again next week.
Thank you.
Chira de Siena of cars.co.za. If you have a motoring question during the week, please feel free to email it to me on pippah@capetalk.co.za.